This is John Walden.
I would like to join you in a study of the book of Galatians. If you'll turn to the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, we'll notice a few things, first of all, about the character of this book. It begins, "Paul, an apostle, not of men." Now, that negative marks this as a controversial book, and it is highly controversial in character. This was a book of argument. This was a book correcting wrong doctrine. The keynote of the book is the word deliver. He wants to deliver us not only from the world and the law, but from anything that would keep us from pleasing God. So that leaves no room for carnality of any kind. Galatians is very much like the book of Romans. Both of them talk about justification by grace. Romans presents the positive side, and Galatians the negative side. Justification means giving us a right standing in God's presence. And both Romans and Galatians prove that this is entirely by grace, apart from man's works. Hebrews shows that the Jews are no longer under the law, while Galatians proves that the Gentiles never were under the law, either as a means of salvation or as a rule of life. There's a parallel also between Galatians and Corinthians. In Corinthians, the Spirit of God corrects carnality in morals, while in Galatians, he corrects legality of doctrine. Now, both carnal morals and legal doctrine are worldly and unspiritual. We might say that Galatians is not only a treatise on the difference between law and grace, but it is also the outstanding treatise of the Scriptures on right motives, why we should behave ourselves. Now, in the first verse, the authority of the Apostle Paul is established, Paul, an apostle, not of men, as to the source, neither by man, as to the means, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. The Apostle Paul spoke with authority. God had given him the authority of an apostle, and God had given to him the gospel which he preached. He says this in verses 11 and 12. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul establishes right at the outset that the gospel that he preached was by authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. A little later on, he shows that there are other gospels which are not true gospels at all, but perversions. But what he received was from God. It's wonderful to know that the message that we believe came from God, not from Paul, not from any human being, but that God himself has told us the things which he wants us to believe. And he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as being raised from the dead. And the gospel depends upon this. In 1 Corinthians 15, the content of the gospel is stated that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. All of this according to the Scriptures. If the Lord Jesus had died as my substitute and never risen from the dead, I would have no assurance at all that my sins are put away. But he was raised again for our justification. In verse 2, he associates with himself all the brethren, he says, which are with me. And this shows the full fellowship between Paul and the rest of the Lord's servants of that first century. Unfortunately, in our day, those who profess to be the servants of Christ have ridden off in all directions. But in those days, they knew what they believed, and they believed the same thing. All the brethren with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Now, this is the only epistle directed to churches in the plural. All of the rest of the New Testament epistles are written to the church, one church, in each locality. The reason being that in each of the others, he is addressing the Christians of one city, Rome, or Corinth, or Ephesus, and so on, but Galatia is a district, a country which lies north of the Mediterranean and incorporated many square miles of territory and many cities, and so there were churches there. Now, God does not recognize denominational differences. He does not recognize the setting up of churches organized by man. The church in the Bible is the church which was purchased with his own blood, the church which is the body of Christ, the church of God, the church of Christ. And no one has a right to claim this title to any particular group, for this belongs to all the people of God. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, he gives the usual salutation in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a standard salutation in all of Paul's epistles, but that doesn't mean that it has any less truth just because it's familiar. In fact, it's repeated so many times because it is such an important thing. Grace and peace. Always grace first before peace. You and I could never have any peace with God apart from God's grace. Because God loved us, because he was gracious to us, because he did not give us what we deserved, that means mercy, and because he has given us what we did not deserve, that means grace, because the Lord has been so kind to us for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why you and I can have peace with God. The grace of God in giving the Lord Jesus to become our Savior has brought us into a position where we can have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't talk about making your peace with God. You're just about 2,000 years too late. The Lord Jesus has already made peace by the death of his cross. He suffered. He died. All that needed to be done has been done so that we can be brought out of our state of war into a state of peace. This is not a peaceful feeling. This is a declared peace which God himself has given to us. He says that this comes from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a wonderful thing to see. The Father and the Son working together to bring us grace and peace. In the first verse, we had Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, mentioned as being the source of all the blessing that has come through the Apostle Paul. Now we're told that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are the source of the blessing that comes to us. God the Father is the source as to his will and purpose. This is mentioned in the fourth verse. The will of God, that is the purpose of God. God planned all this, the Lord Jesus Christ executed it. God the Father so loved the world that he gave God the Son to come to be our Savior. And they have worked together for our salvation. Later on, we will see in this epistle the part of the Holy Spirit in this, how that he at the present time is winning people to Christ, leading us to see through the Word of God that the Lord Jesus is our personal Savior. Now in verse 4, we have the cost of our salvation, who gave himself for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ did not merely come to be a teacher, an example. He came to be a deliverer. He came to be a Savior. And this cost him his own life's blood at Calvary. He gave himself for our sins. In the second chapter of this epistle in verse 20, he speaks of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And every Christian can say, the Lord Jesus gave himself for me. This is what it cost Christ to put our sins away. He gave himself for our sins at Calvary. Christ died for our sins. Now, he did this in order that he might deliver us from this present evil world. The word deliver is a very large word, the same as the word save. Salvation in the scripture is the inclusive term that takes in all that God does for those who put their trust in him. Yes, he wants to deliver us from this present evil world. Not only deliver us from coming wrath, thank God he has done this. Thank God for deliverance from the wrath to come. Thank God for deliverance from God's great penitentiary, the lake of fire. Thank God for salvation from sin and from a wasted life. But here, the particular phase of salvation or deliverance is from this present evil world. The word evil means pernicious. This world system in which you and I live, of whom Satan is the God, he's called that in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. God wants to deliver every Christian from this present evil world system. This is the will of God and our Father. If you have received Christ as your Savior, and you're going on living according to this world, you've missed a great deal that God has for you. And then he closes this beginning section by saying, to whom, that is to the Son and to the Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I'm sure that all of us who are Christians will join in wishing for God all the glory. For it was his purpose. It was his gift. It was the death of the Lord Jesus. This deliverance which has been wrought for us is through Christ. Our blessed Lord, we want to say thank you for thy many kindnesses to us. We deserve nothing, but thou hast loved us so much as to die for us and to live for us, to redeem us, to bless us. Bless all those who have heard thy word just now, we pray, in the precious name of Christ. Amen.